Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Roland P. from San Diego.
Hello, everybody. My name is Roland. I'm an alcoholic. Let's see how this goes. I'll try to get it out of the way so we can get to the cake. It's the important part. Thanks for asking me to do this tonight. I've been in school full-time lately, so my meeting count and my interaction with AA has been drastically reduced, and it has been pointed out to me by a couple people that it might be starting to show. So my sobriety date is March 27, 2009, so I have just over 9.5 years. I always like to mention that my first almost 3 years of sobriety was dry time. I refused to go to meetings or work steps, or I identified as an alcoholic. I knew that if I drank again, I was going to die. I was very fortunate that my father and my brother got sober before me, so I was able to sort of ride their coattails, and they lovingly put up with my dry, insane self that whole time until I was emotionally beaten down enough to become willing to ask someone to sponsor me and take me through the steps, because I got to a point where I knew the only ideas I had in my head were to relapse or commit suicide. And those were very real things. Like, that was where I was at. You know, I got sober at 23, and I had almost 15 years of drinking and using under my belt at 23. Like, I started young. Parents were drug alcoholics. My mom died from this disease. Like I said, my father and my brother got sober. So I've basically lived in this world my entire life. It's basically everything I've known. So when I dried out, you know, like, I did everything we do when we're drinking and using. If you're in this room, you probably have a good understanding of what those things are, right? Like, we do not great things. Problem was, is I dried out, right? And then I kept doing those not great things. I was still a liar, a cheat, a thief, still really angry. I still fought all the time. I couldn't sustain a relationship. My employers hated me. You know, I have a good friend who, he's one of the guys that gives me a token every year. And he loves to bring up the fact that just before I came into AA, so like almost 3 years, my employer, my supervisor, pulled me into the office and offered to send me to rehab. It's like, I haven't touched anything in almost 3 years. And he's like, yeah, you're putting it together? Because the only, like, feasible, like, the only reasonable answer, like, to someone on the outside was, like, I must be on something. I must be just be strung out, just out of my mind. So that's me without the solution of drugs and alcohol, but also without the solution of AA. Just insane. And then finally I make my way in here. It was weird. I wasn't used to being hugged. I wasn't used to people, like, coming towards me without wanting to hurt me. I wasn't used to, like, people asking me to come back. I wasn't used to people not seeking something from me, and I wasn't used to not seeking something from someone. Like, I was, like I said, I was still really sick. And everyone just loved me. Like, despite me being me, like, people loved me, which was really tough for me to gather and understand for a long time, and really uncomfortable for people to, like, be nice and, like, compliment me. And and like learning how to accept those things and learning how to do it to others and like, you know, learning how to be a human being. Like, that was really tough. That was a really tough process for someone like me, who grew up in a very violent, chaotic space. And, you know, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Like, being that broken is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Because if I hadn't gotten to that point where I was ready to kill myself or drink. And when I dried out, I promised myself that if I drank again, I was just going to put a gun in my mouth because I knew what drinking did. Like, I couldn't do it again. Like, I was that just broken down by it. And, which is also why my first sponsor made me do 2 sets of steps back to back, because he said the first set was so I didn't kill myself, and the second set was so I could learn how to get some joy out of life. You know, and it's just, like I said, AA is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And I've learned a lot about myself and about the world and how to interact with the world and how to go out into the world and grow. And, you know, what it's like for me today is I have a sponsor and a home group in San Diego. I have a sponsor and a home group in Seattle. I have a host of like AA fellowship on the East Coast. I've got this crew like all over the country now. And a network and a tribe. So like when I'm out and about, like I never feel alone. And I always have a place to go. And I always have people to reach out to if I don't understand or if I'm confused about what's going on around me. Or if I'm confused about what's going on within me, you know? I was having a conversation with a gentleman last night about that. Like, sometimes, even at 9.5 years, like, I can't put my finger on what's going on in here. And, like, I'm doing step work, and I'm helping others, and I'm being of service, and I'm sponsoring guys, and I got commitments. And it's like, what? I still feel off. And it's like, I have men and women who've been sober much longer than me, that have known me for a long time, and like my older brother who's known me since the moment I was born, who's, you know, almost 15 years sober, and I can count on them to be like, this is what I see going on with you. This is what you're projecting. This is what's coming out. And like that honesty has been priceless, because it's allowed me to like really grow up and like become an adult and like understand who I am and where I want to go and who I want to be. Like today I have like a beautiful fiance who like I don't know how I did it. Like it's like it is flabbergasting to me. This like beautiful, smart, ambitious, sober woman is like, I love you and want to spend the rest of my life with you. Like, we joked that, like, we took an Uber. The night I proposed, we took an Uber to where we were going because I had this, like, little voice in my head. It's like, she might say no, and it'd be awkward to have to drive home in the same car. Like, that's still, like, my alcoholic brain, right? We laugh about that probably once a week now because she's like, I still can't believe you did that. I'm like, I was, you know. But it's like today I have this beautiful fiance and like I'm in school full time studying fire and EMS to be a firefighter and a paramedic. And I have a 4.0 without cheating. I was just talking with a friend before me. Like I haven't stolen test scores or like blackmailed anybody or like done anything. Everything's above board. And I'm, like, top 5 in the class, and, like, people call me to, like, study. Like, it is a trip. And, like, anything good I have in my life, I attribute to AA and the men and women in AA who have put up with me and guided me and helped me. And I do that as much as I can for other people, whether it's sponsorship or whatever, even if it's just someone hitting me up, or if, like, I see something and I remember that this other person was like mentioning that, and I try to be outside of myself Because when I spend all my time in here, like, I don't do well. You know, I heard in a meeting once from an old timer, he said, this is a bad neighborhood that I don't want to go in, I don't want to be in alone, right? And, like, I really believe that. Like, my head, even in 9.5 years, it's you know, we've fixed the houses up and painted and, you know, like, it's like a regular garbage route and everything now, but, like, but sometimes it gets weird. Like, sometimes I take a strange turn and, like, I'm on that one bad block that still is there that we just can't seem to fix up, right? And, like, but it's all navigable. It's all survivable as long as I stay sober and stay in AA and stay in the mix and do what I've been taught to do here, which is, you know, trust God, clean house, and help others. That's all I got. Thank you.